joining us on the Trocare College Live Line. It's the voice of the UB Bulls, Paul Peck. We're talking about a new court decision that opens the door for colleges to directly pay their student athletes. Paul, thanks for being with us this morning. You know, we saw this yesterday and immediately thought, well, what does this mean for our D1 schools here in Western New York, which we all know are not the University of Michigan or Alabama or any of these huge schools when it comes to football? Is it a disadvantage for Western New York colleges?
See, that's hard to say, Brian, whether it's a disadvantage for some of the reasons that you said. I mean, obviously, they're part of the NCAA and they're part of this new ruling. And in order to be at the highest level of athletics, you kind of had to go along with what's called the House settlement, which kicked in yesterday, where colleges can now directly pay athletes. And in case anybody's wondering, House settlement has nothing to do with Congress. It's named after the lead plaintiff in the case, who's a swimmer from Arizona State named Grant House. And essentially, he sued along with the other athletes for back pay. And then ultimately, that's where this settlement took us to, which is all the schools that have chosen to be a part of this, which is most of the Division I athletic programs, including the local ones, although I think Canisius is not actually part of this per se, have agreed to pay into the back pay and then now have the ability to directly pay their athletes. And you laid it out pretty accurately. You know, Canisius, Bonaventure, Niagara, UB don't compete financially or at the same levels as the Michigans and the Alabama, so they're probably not going to pay what those schools are paying, but they will have the ability, and most of them are going to pay their athletes directly some form of compensation. It's a pretty dramatic shift in college athletics as we've known it most of our lives.
Paul, what's the difference with this and what's been happening with NIL?
Oh, that's a somewhat confusing question, Susan, because it's been all over the place for the last couple of years. I mean, let's take a step back, and this is one of the things that pops into my head. Like, for years and years, the NCAA would not allow schools to directly pay their athletes. I mean, the story that jumps back into my head was when I was in college in Syracuse in the 80s, working at a television station where they would bring some of the football players in to be on the show to analyze the game. The sports director's wife wanted to bake them cookies for when they came into the studio, and it was determined that that would have been a violation of NCAA rules, so they couldn't bake cookies to give to the players when they came into the studio. That's how crazy and sort of arcane the rules have been over the years. But under the pressure in the last 6 or 7 years of all these lawsuits and all this money that college athletics can generate, the NIL thing became a part of it, but the schools didn't control the NIL directly. They couldn't. They weren't allowed to. So you had these sort of third-party groups that would generate their own money and then give it to the players, and the schools really never wanted that. They wanted to be able to control it themselves. So now you're sort of eliminating those third-party groups. You're paying the players directly, but there is still the NIL component that's part of this, where players can say, hey, a local car dealership wants me to do a TV commercial for them. They're going to pay me for it. But now there's been this clearinghouse set up that has to approve all those deals to make sure they're legitimate.
I just don't.
Confusing, I know. It
can be confusing, especially when you consider, you know, I love what you said about the cookies, because it seems like in just a couple of years, we've gone from you can't give anyone a cookie to give them $20 million. I mean, like, we've gone from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and some of that was the NCAA's resistance to do anything for so many years that ultimately the House settlement and a lot of other lawsuits that they just kept losing, including the Supreme Court ruling that kind of went against them, forced their hand to do something. That combined with the crazy amounts of money that TV revenues and ticket sales and all that kind of thing can generate for the big schools in college, the student athletes were the ones generating the revenues, but we're seeing no compensation from it. That had to change. And it just kind of took me all of this process a while to figure out the best way to make it change.
Are we talking basically about football and to some extent basketball? And then pretty much that's it.
Yeah, Susan, because football generates the most revenue. And then basketball with the NCAA tournament generates the second. So here's a bit of an example for you. And again, this is more of an Ohio State, Alabama thing. Each school can pay up to $20.5 million per year to their players. That's the so-called salary cap. Most schools are going to use 75% of that $20.5 million, so roughly 15-ish, on football because it generates the most revenues, it has the most players, it will get the most money back the other way. Most of the big schools will probably do 10% to men's basketball, 5% to women's, and then whatever money is left over will go to some of the Olympic-like sports, baseball, field hockey, soccer, those kinds of things. So, you know, again, it's become a business now, and the colleges are having to look at, well, who generates our revenue for ticket sales, TV contracts, donations, souvenir sales. And in turn, you know, it's where's the revenue coming from? Well, that's where it needs to go. You know, and again, to back to your original question where it relates to the local schools, you know, I would suspect that the Bonaventure, Niagara, Canisius, and UB won't be spending $20.5 million a year, but maybe in the single-digit millions, varying somewhere for what they can afford based on what their revenues are.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch, and I hope it doesn't mean that we're at a little bit of a disadvantage here, but the future is unwritten, as they say. Paul Peck, thanks so much for being on with us this morning. Appreciate the time.